Chase Willie and D Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, Willie Donick hanging out with you. We say hello to Max Kellerman from ESPN, who has been nice enough to jump on with us today because he's given us a big topic to talk about from his show this morning. Of course, it is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. You can hear on ESPN Radio mornings. Max, how you doing? Appreciate it.
Of course, guys. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. So you called it a hot take. You made your take this morning that you thought that Saquon Barkley was going to have a bigger impact for the Giants than Derrick Henry would for the Titans this week. What kind of led you down that path?
Well, several things. One, just go back to Saquon's rookie year. He had over 2,000 yards from scrimmage and 15 touchdowns. And by the way, was basically on paper the greatest running back prospect who ever lived, right? No one at his size had ever moved like him. By the end of his rookie season, between his last year in college and his rookie year, he has a highlight reel that you can put next to anyone's who ever lived. Their whole career's worth. Like Barry Sanders, take his career worth of highlights, look at Saquon from college and his first year in the pros. It's comparable. Just is. Except Saquon's 20 pounds heavier, right? He was incredible, and he was raw. He didn't know how to block. He didn't run between the tackles great. Like, with all that said, he could catch and run like it was no one's business, and he was a home run threat whenever he touched the ball. Okay, so that was Saquon Barkley. He was running behind the worst offensive line in the game, and his quarterback was the remains of Eli Manning, and he had a bad coach, and he did that. So I see that not as his ceiling, but if he is fully healthy, as his floor. Because he's older and wiser. If he can still move like he once did, and by all accounts this preseason he can, then he should be better than that. That's what I'm looking at. Now I look at Derrick Henry, who is, you know, the guy over the last 3 or 4 years, but has had an enormous workload, and they're going to have to get the quarterback more involved in the offense at some point. In addition, Saquon catches passes differently than most running backs. So I imagine the Giants are going to have to use Saquon the way Pittsburgh used to use Le'Veon Bell. Like, you could even split him out wide. You could put him in the slot. You can run him out of the backfield. You can do a million different things with him. And if for the Giants to compete, they're going to have to. Whereas the reverse is true for Derrick Henry. They're going to have to, in a way, involve him a little less in the offense if they're serious about competing in the playoffs eventually. So that leads me to believe Saquon, and I'm really talking about the season, but sure, we can talk about this game too. We'll have the bigger game.
Well, Max, and that's what we were discussing. Was it just a one-off, meaning this game, Saquon has a bigger impact, or are you talking about the season moving forward? My thing was, yes, he could have a bigger impact in this game in particular, but does that still mean, you know, the Giants win? I think Titans have other more options than the New York Giants scoring.
Titans are going to win, right? Yeah, Titans are going to win, and I'm not suggesting that Saquon Barkley is going to have more yards, particularly between the tackles, mm-hmm. but on the ground than Derrick Henry. But you're going to have to look at the overall game is my point.
Exactly. We're talking with Max Kellerman, host of This Just In, and also host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on the morning ESPN radio. He's everywhere. Absolutely. Even on his show. Max, if Derek comes out, because a lot of people are looking at what happened in the playoffs, and he wasn't as effective, but the guy had been out for, you know, 9 games. It was still some rust there. But if Derrick Henry comes out and says he rushed for 120 or 30 yards, a touchdown, do you think the narrative then change with Derrick Henry?
Well, first of all, that's not a big game for Derrick
Henry. Exactly. True. I'm saying 120 yards, and it's like maybe like 150.
Maybe 220.
Yeah, no, you went 120, and then you were like 130 yards and a touchdown. No, Derrick Henry is ridiculous. And, you know, and by the way, he's not facing a run defense. Saquon is. A couple years mm-hmm. ago, your run defense is no good. And then last year was really good. So, you know, Derrick Henry's going to put up big numbers, right? He almost can't help it. And the thing that's most impressive to me about him is you don't really – like, there are some guys who are clutch. You know, he's a clutch back. Mm-hmm. When they needed him the most in the playoffs, he had some ridiculous games. Now, you could say, well, also, he had a couple of duds. But, I mean, if the entire game plan is to stop someone after he just picked up 150 yards and a couple touchdowns in the last playoff game, if everything you devote is to, you know, and you're is to stop him, you're gonna limit him. But that's what I'm saying. That's why they can't just give the ball to Derrick Henry, go do your thing, if they're serious about making a playoff run. It's like the Bucks with Giannis, right? Mm-hmm. Remember, Budenholzer was the same thing every time Giannis comes downhill. You double him, he finds the open man. Otherwise, he yams it on you. Like, good luck, right? Mm-hmm. But in the playoffs, they walled off against him. So Budenholzer the following year had to figure out a way, let's initiate the offense differently in the regular season, even if it means we're not going to be as good in the regular season, but it's going to prepare us better for the playoffs. And I got to imagine the Titans, they got to be thinking something like that in terms of how to integrate the offense better and not just rely on Henry.
Max, we talk about this all the time. The Titans have won the last couple of division titles, and yet more often than not, the national people are picking the Colts to win the division. So you're a great person to bounce this off of. What's your perception of the Titans versus the Colts in the AFC South?
I think in certain ways they're very similar in that they're solid teams up and down, and they here's the difference. The Titans have a better regular season quarterback, I believe, at this point. Like, you can say whatever you want about Matt Ryan. He went for a third-round pick. Well, it's because they wanted to trade him where he wanted to go, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay, come on. But there'd be some other bidder with at least a first-round pick so that they could come back and tell the Falcons to come back and say, look, we're going to need a first or at least a second for the guy. They only got a third. It tells you the league doesn't value him that much. And Tannehill, on the other hand, is a very good regular season quarterback. But I don't think they brought in Matt Ryan for the regular season. And I don't know that the Colts wind up with a better record than the Titans. I think they brought in Matt Ryan for the playoffs because they did not trust Carson Wentz, and they figure that in the moment of truth, Matt Ryan will be more reliable than Carson Wentz would have been, and I agree. And the thing about Tannehill is he really needed a good playoffs, and he was awful. You know, he was very good in the regular season. He needed to at least maintain that level in the playoffs, and he didn't. So I like the Titans better in the regular season. Once we get to the playoffs, that changes for me.
So, Max, you don't because this is the, you know, sort of the consensus here in Nashville is just like you said, yes, Ryan can get you to the playoffs. I mean, not Ryan, but Ryan Tannehill can get you to the playoffs. But once he gets in the playoffs, it's a different story. And now we're trying to figure out last year, Ryan had all the pieces in place. I get it. Derrick Henry was just coming back, but last year was the year that many figured he has everything in place. This should be the year. Well, on the flip side, this year, one guy I'm not worried about is Ryan Tannehill. I'm worried about everything else around Ryan Tannehill this season.
Yeah, I'm worried about Tannehill too because, like, you know, you say, well, you don't need a superstar to win the Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Eli Manning won a couple, and Nick Foles won one not that long ago. But in order for a regular dude, and Eli was the number one overall pick, but still, he wasn't uber-talented the way a lot of these guys are. In order for a guy like Nick Foles or Eli Manning to win the Super Bowl nowadays, they have to have one of the greatest clutch performances ever, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's what it takes for a guy like that to win. And Tannehill is more mobile than those guys, but he's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not, oh, my God, the most talented guy. For a guy like him to win, to make a real playoff run, he has got to be big under pressure. That cannot be a thing you're worried about. So you may not be worried about him. I don't know. You have your reasons. Mm-hmm. But based on what I just saw, let me see you get it done when it matters most. Because you're not talented enough to slip a little and still be good enough to get it.
Max, we really appreciate you jumping on with us last minute. The discussion this morning was fantastic and obviously has given us a lot to talk about today. But thanks as always and enjoy your work.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Max Kellerman of ESPN. This Just In is the show on television and also, of course, co-hosts of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, which you can hear mornings on ESPN Radio starting at 5 a.m. Look, I think everything he said is, you know, valid. It's good discussion, and that's why, you know, we wanted to try and get him on and glad that we could do that. We'll come back, react to some of that you just heard from Max Kellerman, also check in and see what Mike Vrabel has said about his team going into this week. That's all coming up next. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 105, 106 for the game. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Appreciate Max Kellerman for jumping on with us. This Saturday and Sunday, the Chainsmokers hit Music City at the Blended Wine and Music Festival. 24 bands, two stages, one weekend, all under the Nashville skyline. But your tickets, buy your tickets now at blendedfestival.com. That's blendedfestival.com. And also be sure to sign up for Silly Underdog Picks. Pick three underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. Play now at thegamenashville.com or on the 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. There's some good stuff there with Max Kellerman, whether it's with Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley or Ryan Tannehill, because you could kind of hear that's where the narrative comes from. And he said he believes Ryan Tannehill is a really good regular season quarterback, but the Colts got Matt Ryan for the playoffs.
Yeah, and I can see truth in that. And I also told you guys off air, it was like, listen, the one thing that, you know, and he had some really good stuff in this interview. The one thing that I took out of it, and it came toward the latter part of the interview, is when I said, listen, this is the one year that I'm not worried about Ryan Tannehill. I'm worried about what's around him because of what he's lost. But Max went back to, I'm still worried about Ryan because of what he last showed me. And until he shows me something different, only thing I have to go by is the Cincinnati game. And I think that that's the consensus around the league with reporters and everyone else. It's like, that's why we're picking you to not win the division, is because the last pitcher we saw wasn't a good pitcher, you know, and you don't even have AJ Brown this year, and your offensive line is sort of a question mark, is in flux a little bit. So last year we picked you to win it with AJ Brown and you didn't do it. We're not picking you to win it minus AJ Brown and some offensive line troubles. We're just not doing it. So I understand now, even though Ryan Tannehill is the least of my problems with the Titans, there are still many that believe he is the problem. And yes, he can only get you so far.
We constantly point out on this show, at least I try to, the difference in when you cover one team, which is basically what our show and most of the shows locally are about. Mm-hmm. They cover the Titans backwards and forwards to the last detail. And covering a team more of a macro. You're covering the entire league. That's why I like when we get a perspective like Max Kellerman, who comes on, because he's looking at the league as a whole. He's not covering one team. So it's interesting to hear the perception. And there's a big perception, like you're saying, Derek, on Ryan Tannehill's last performance. He cannot escape it no matter what he does until they start playing again. And even if he has a good regular season, then he's going to have a whole new slew of questions about, hey, can he do it in the postseason this time? Because they've lost home playoff games the last 2 years. And the perception is going to be, not only does he have question marks, Derrick Henry has question marks, and they lost A.J. Brown. So they can't quite be as good as they have been last year. And so we're picking the Colts. That's the general consensus among the national media.
Here's Max Kellerman just a few minutes ago with us talking about Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I'm worried about Tannehill too, because, like, you know, you say, well, you don't need a superstar to win the Super Bowl, right? Like Eli Manning won a couple, and Nick Foles won one not that long ago. But in order for a regular dude, and Eli was the number one overall pick, but still, he wasn't uber talented the way a lot of these guys are. In order for a guy like Nick Foles or Eli Manning to win the Super Bowl nowadays, they have to have one of the greatest clutch performances ever, right? Like, that's what it takes for a guy like that to win. And Tannehill is more mobile than those guys, but he's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not, oh my God, the most talented guy. For a guy like him to win, to make a real playoff run, he has got to be big under pressure. He cannot, that cannot be a thing you're worried about. So you may not be worried about him. I don't know. You have your reasons. Mm-hmm. But based on what I just saw, let me see you get it done when it matters most. Because you're not talented enough to slip a little and still be good enough to get it.
Okay, so that his point there has kind of been my biggest concern of when the chips are down and you have to put the entire game on the shoulders of number 17, Ryan Tannehill, can he get the job done? And to this point, as the Titans starting quarterback, he hasn't shown that in the playoffs.
Not in the playoffs, but in the regular season.
We've talked
about his comebacks, his fourth quarter comebacks. He is ranking very, very high in those areas, and they've won 13 out of 17 games that have been decided by seven or less.
Look, that is all great because you got to get to the playoffs. So you have to be good in the regular season to get to the playoffs. But at the end of the day, what are we going to remember? We're going to remember the playoff
success.
They got to the AFC Championship game not because of Ryan Tannehill, but because of Derrick Henry and because of the defense and other plays it made. Now, did he make some big throws? Sure, but he had under 100 yards passing in the two wins leading up to getting to Kansas City. They take Derrick Henry out of the game. It's all on Ryan Tannehill. He can't get it done. That's the narrative that has to change with him.
But I don't think it's going to. I think he is who he is. I don't think he's going to become a better player. I do think, can he play his best? First of all, getting there again will be an accomplishment. I don't scoff of, well, you know, we'll see what happens. But you got to get to the playoffs. There's tons of people that don't think they'll even get to the playoffs this year. So I don't scoff at what he's done in the regular season. But so let's cross that bridge when we come to it. Let's see if we can get him there again.
Well, it's not only does you know he need to go out and play well, and he needs to sort of change the narrative or the perspective on him. I think the Tennessee Titans coaching staff needs to change how they view Ryan Tannehill from this standpoint, because they can ride Derrick Henry all the way into the playoffs.
Sure.
They've done it. We've seen it. They can do it. Once you get in the playoffs, teams isolate on one or two guys, and they say, listen, no matter what happens in this game, these two guys or this one guy is not going to be the reason we lose. We're going to do everything in our power to stop that one guy, i.e. Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. Teams have done it. They've done just enough to slow him down. The Titans have to change their mind, have to change their way of thinking. They got to have more confidence in Ryan Tannehill than anybody else on the planet. They must, because in order for them to advance in the playoffs, Ryan Tannehill has to play big. And if they are not willing to put it on his shoulders, then they're not going to get to the Super Bowl. They're not. That is flat out the honest truth for me. If the Titans don't believe that they can put the game on Ryan Tannehill's shoulders, they will never make it to the never make it to the Super Bowl, because every team that plays the Titans in the playoffs, they're going to say, we are going to stack the box, and Derrick Henry is not going to beat us. He's not going to beat us. You're going to have to find another way. And until the Titans realize that, they might have already, but until they realize it and play on it, they're not going to make it to the Super Bowl. They're just not. They got to go out and purposely say, Ryan, this is the only way we make it to the Super Bowl is you. I know we got to play a team game, but we've seen our defense get 9 sacks.
Right.
We've seen Derrick Henry rush over 200 yards. We've seen all of that. If you don't play, if we don't have the confidence that we can put the game on your shoulders, we'll never get to the Super Bowl. We'll win a game in the playoffs. We may even go to the AFC Championship game, but we're not getting to the Super Bowl.
I can't argue with you.
And a lot more people voting in our poll, and I noticed the last batch of votes seemed to be a little less Titan-friendly. The numbers for 8 or less wins have come up to to almost 15%. Exactly 9 wins, almost 18%. 10 wins is still the highest one, but it's now under 50% for the first time in the day, 47%. And 20.5% say 11 or more wins. Keep voting at 1025 The Game and tell us why by texting us on our text line, 615-737-1025. Brought to you by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Coming up next, it's time to ask D-Mace. You can ask him football questions. You can ask him life questions. You can call or text 615-737-1025. Ask D-Mace. Coming up next on Chase Willie and D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Chase, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase, Willie, D-Mace. It is time for Ask D-Mace. So get your questions in. 615-737-1025. You can call. You can text the former Titan, Raven, Jets and Texan, and Mumford High School, Michigan State Spartan.
See, I love the variety we've gotten in this topic. Mm-hmm. This is a segment I look forward to because I love the listeners' creativity. Think outside the box. You can ask straight up football questions, but you can branch out. Music, movies, life, pop culture, it's all available to ask D-Mace.
Well, Johnny in White House is coming off the top rope to start.
Ooh.
He says, D-Mace, Ravens fan here, so you already know where
Johnny
this is
be
going.
Good.
What made you decide to retire a Raven rather than a Titan? Love the show.
Well, thank you, Johnny. I appreciate the text. I've told this story before. When I decided to retire after I finished my last season with the Houston Texans, I knew I was done. Physically, no, but mentally, I was just done with it. I was ready to kind of move on. But before I had signed the contract at the beginning of the year with the Jets and then got traded to the Houston, I wanted to come back here to Nashville. And I sort of didn't make a decision until I heard everything back from Nashville. You know, listen.
Was that Mike Reinfeldt?
Yeah, I think it was the Reinfeldt regime. And I let my agent know, hey, listen, I would like to go back to Nashville to finish out my career. If it's a year, great. 2 years, doesn't matter to me. I just want to be, because ultimately I was moving back to Nashville. I want to go back to Nashville. So I kept going back and forth. But at the time, I don't think it was my last year. So it might have been. Yeah, it was my last year.
Yeah, because you left Baltimore 2010.
Yeah. So I think the year they were trying to do Chris Johnson's deal, that's the year it was. And they kept saying, well, we're trying to do Chris's deal and this and all this other stuff. This is what I'm getting from my side. And my thought process was, I'm not breaking the bank. I just want to play a season or two, play a really good season at a place that I started, and sort of, retire from there.
Right.
But Reinfeldt wasn't having it, and I was like, okay, cool. I still want to play another year. So signed with the Jets. And then when I retired, everyone was gone. Everyone that I knew was gone. Fish, Floyd, all the coaches. I didn't know nobody in this building. And the man that was probably over me retiring, he didn't want me.
Right.
So it's like, why go somewhere that you don't feel the love?
I mean, and Munchak had taken over, and I'm sure you had a good relationship.
You had a good relationship, but I don't think ultimately it was up to Munch It was just like, okay, I'm going to go somewhere where the love is there, I feel wanted.
Was it Reinfeldt or Russell
No,
Webster?
It was one of the two.
Reinfeldt took over for Floyd in 2007, and then I want to say it might have been Rustin Webster.
So whichever one it was, I know that when I wanted to come for that,
both
final
were
year,
awful. So yeah, let's just put it that way.
And I think I remember telling
my
agent.
Yeah, it was rusty.
Yeah, I remember telling my agent at the time, if you look at my numbers from my last year, touchdowns and receiving yards and catches, it was better than what they had.
Yeah,
you know, that season. So why not? But they didn't want to do it. I chose to retire, and it was like, this is where the love is. The love is not over here, obviously, and apparently. So that's why I chose to retire with the Ravens. But it didn't negate my love for the Titans, because I even mentioned the Tennessee Titans in my sort of retirement speech. You know, so it didn't negate the love, but, you know, it's like, okay, this side is showing you love. The other side don't want to have any part with you.
Those were kind of some dim, you know, dim lit years in
exactly.
Titans history.
Though. Now I see it wasn't only me. It was some other guys, too, that they didn't show love to. So,
well, look, Wizenhunt came in and basically told all the alums, like, yeah, beat it. Like,
yeah, so,
there is no history.
Yeah. It was the dark days in Nashville.
Those weren't the best days for the Titans.
Yeah. So that's why.
And I remember it was out there. Like, the insiders were reporting that you were interested in coming back to the Titans.
Yeah.
And they were interested in you. There had been a conversation, but ultimately just couldn't get it done, and that was unfortunate. 615-737-1025. Dylan says, D-Mace, I think the Titans didn't want to ante up and pay AJ the big money, and that's the main reason they traded him. It makes me worry they will do the same thing and be cheap and not pay Big Jeff. Do you think this organization spins to the cap, and is that something you would worry about, Dylan?
Dylan, I don't worry about that with Jeff Simmons, Jeffrey, because it just – they value – each team values each position differently. The Titans, not that they didn't value A.J. Brown and would have loved to have him here, but they didn't value the dollar. They would rather put – you know, they would rather get Jeffrey – you know, Big Jeff, that money, because they see the value in it. They're not a pass-happy team, you know. So if this is the L.A. Rams or Buffalo, then A.J. gets paid because they value the receivers and throwing the football. That's who they are. Well, the Titans don't value that as much. They're a run team and a hard-nosed defense team. That's just who they are. That's who they've always been.
615-737-1025. Adam weighs in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, welcome in.
You know what I remember about the Rustin Webster and the Wizenhunt days? I remember that they wanted to sell our team the entire time they were in charge. Like, that's what was floating around for Titans fans. Are we even going to have a team the next year? So, yeah, I hate that. Those are trigger warnings, man. Those are trigger words for me. So,
the team is not for sale.
Oh my God! Yeah, no, we could see it straight through that. But no, so the one thing I have for you, D-Mace, and you're not gonna like it, but I've followed you since the very beginning. I followed your show since the very beginning. I love you. You know I'm a big fan. Mm-hmm. Why Baltimore? Why'd you do that to me? It felt so personal. Steve, if he was here, I'd ask him the same thing. I'd ask Samari the same thing. Why Baltimore? You could have picked 30 other teams. And I would have been like, all right, do you, go make your money. But not Baltimore, man. They stole our run, man. Like, they ended our Adelphia Coliseum streak. They stole our playoff run. And then they take our best players. Like, that, it was just so sorry. I don't blame you personally. I just, I can't get it out of my mouth, man. I'm always going to think, when I hear you on the radio, I'm like, yeah, he was great. Damn it, he sucks. He makes me mad. He went to the Ravens, you know, like. So I always feel like that.
Well, I'm sorry that you have those
Thanks,
that
Adam.
Sentiment or that feeling. It wasn't up to neither
Matt got
Mac. It wasn't up to Samari. It wasn't up to myself. It wasn't up to Kevin Carter. The team chose to go in a different direction, and when the team chooses to go in a different direction, especially with guys that are at the peak of their career, which I was at the peak of my career. Samari was at the peak of his. Obviously, Steve was as well, but he was still battling. He was battling injuries, but he still has some good years left in him. When a team decides to go their ways or part ways with you, then as a player, you look for an opportunity that you know, one, you know, that's going to, you know, pay you what you believe you're worth. But then two, and I think most importantly, what team is going to set you up for success moving forward? Meaning, what team you have the best shot of making it to the playoffs and then to the Super Bowl?
So, well, the one you turned down probably would have done that.
I know. It was just, you know.
You could have played with Tommy.
It was just a different thing. But Tommy wasn't Tommy then. He wasn't
Tommy.
Yeah,
he was. He'd already won 3 Super Bowls.
But he became Tommy, like Tommy, a little bit later.
You could have
like
been.
The other three. The last three is when he really just blew up.
If you signed with them.
They had only won two that year. They had only won two
okay,
prior
won
to
two.
Me going to, was it two or one?
They won 0-1. No, yeah, they won two.
They won two. It was 0-1 and then
0-3.
It wasn't until that third, fourth, and fifth Super Bowl where Tommy, it was like, okay, he's
sure.
the man.
But, like, he gets Moss. You could have they yeah. may not have even gotten Randy Moss.
No, I still wish they would have gotten Randy Moss if I was there. It made my job easier.
That's true.
And his.
You so. And Moss and Wes Welker. And that could have been.
There you go.
That could have been something.
Yes.
615-737-1025. We'll have another round of questions for Ask D-Mace coming up next. But it's the weekend, and I am very ready for the weekend. I mean, I started the show throwing headphones, so that's kind of where we're at. But I'll enjoy a Screwball peanut butter whiskey. I like mine chilled as a shot. You can have it on the rocks as well. You can have an espresso martini, peanut butter old-fashioned, a PB&J shot with a berry liqueur. Just visit screwballwhiskey.com for more recipes and more info on that. But I like it because it goes down smooth. There's not a burn. It just tastes so good. And it's made with real peanuts, real peanut butter, and real whiskey, which makes it the most awarded peanut butter whiskey in the world. Made with natural flavors, that's what gives it that rich and smooth taste. So when you're out and about with your friends, do like I do. Ask for it by name wherever you go and hang out to watch games. Say, I would like a Screwball peanut butter whiskey, just like the suit. And be sure to enjoy responsibly. Copyright 2022 Screwball Spirits LLC, San Diego, California. Whiskey with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume. 615-737-1025. Ask D-Mace. You can call, you can text on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show this Sunday live from Sonny's Patio and Pub Refuge, located at 6th Avenue North in Nashville. Join Jared Stillman and forever Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and our own Derek Mason from 1 to 3 prior to the Titans taking on the New York Football Giants. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, and Ounce of Hope. We have more questions on the text line, Willie.
We do, and we love the creativity. Just keep that in mind. Some great football questions today, too. But remember, you can bounce around to anything pop culture-wise, trendy stuff, you know, anything you want. 615-737-1025. Here is a really good one, D-Mace.
Mm-hmm.
He gives this – we were joking about this, how the guy – I think this is what ended the zero tolerance for Bobby Knight at Indiana. Remember, he got put into a zero tolerance, and then a student said, hey, Knight. And he made some kind of wisecrack, and Bobby Knight put him – cornered him in the cafeteria, and then he was gone after this. But so he starts the text with, hey, Mason. Hey, Mason. Maybe he just meant to say, hey, Mace. But anyway, he said, let's say you're a college kid, mm-hmm. and you're a top athlete. You come from a struggling family. You have the opportunity to go to your dream school, but a different school is offering you better money through NIL. Would you go to your dream school, or would you take more money to help your family?
Wow, that is a good question. And you know, that's too much pressure for a 17-18-year-old kid to have to endure. You know, the weight of, you know, your family is on your shoulders from a financial standpoint. I would say this, you know, the college experience is like no other. It can be really good or it can be really bad. So when making your decisions and, you know, but I understand that these NIL things changes the landscape completely. But when making your decision, if you have your dream college that you've always wanted to go to, that the posters are on your wall, and that was the first college that, you know, reached out to you and, you know, first college that showed interest or, you know, whatnot. Or when you got that letter, your whole family just had big smiles on their face because they knew through and through you were a Michigan State fan. You see, I threw that in, Willie.
Oh, yeah.
Then, you know, you got to then make the decision, you know, do I do this or do I do that? But I think your family should be neutral in the sense of make the decision that's best for you. We will be fine. Make the decision that's best for you. But then on the flip side of that, if your dream college is recruiting you as a top athlete, they should know your background. They should know your situation. So if they truly want you, because it's legal now.
It's legal.
If they truly want you, then they need to ante up. That's just the way it is. They need to help you with whatever it is, NIL, you know, deal they can help you with. They need to, you know, try to help navigate that with you. So, but again, the college experience is like no other. So if you have your, you know, your dream college, then go. If that's where you want to be, go. Because you're going to find yourself, if you go to the other one, you're going to find yourself transferring anyway.
That's why I think it's so important to pay attention when you go to a college campus, mm-hmm. not only where you fit with the team, but look at your surroundings, right?
Exactly.
Get a feel for the college campus. Like, can you see yourself there? So take advantage when you actually – it's not all about the money, dream school, everything, but what's your own experience when you mm-hmm. get on there? How do you interact? There's all these things to take note of, and it's easy to get clouded with all the hype mm-hmm. on the social media and the stuff that's not real when you get down to it. Like, what's real is you're going to be there every day. You're going to that facility every day. You're going to the classrooms, the social life. If you want to get home, how do you get home?
Right?
I mean, how far of a drive is it? Do you have to get mm-hmm. to an airport? How near is the airport?
Can your parents get to the game every
exactly.
week?
Exactly. All of these things. Those are the real things.
Mm-hmm.
615-737-1025. I like this one. Unnamed texter, so send your name. Derek, if you could take three former Titans and put them on this team, who would you choose beside yourself?
Beside myself?
Well, no. You can answer yourself.
I'm going to throw myself in there.
Yeah, we could – We could. I think you could make a pretty good argument. You. They could use D-Mace to solidify that position.
They need a good slot receiver.
And I would say I'm just going to get past that one. Uh-huh. I play slot inside. It didn't matter outside. The only reason I'm not saying Eddie is because they have Derrick Henry. So it's like Eddie, Derrick Henry. I mean, you know. So that's the only reason I'm not going to involve Eddie because they have Derrick Henry. But Steve would be one. Samari.
So you say Steve.
Samari.
Okay.
Samari. Would be two. And at this particular time, it would have to either be B-Hop, but they got a left tackle. Can we move in the right tackle?
You can play right.
Yeah. So either – give me B-Hop.
Yeah,
I'm taking B-Hop because I looked at safety. I'm thinking Blaine, but they have Byard, you know?
Oh, but if you – I mean, nothing against Imani Hooker, but if you had Blaine and Byard –
Yeah, it'd be awesome. But they have their – there's no problem with their secondary, their safety. And then I thought about Bullock. But
missing a big name, though, that I am shocked you didn't bring up. Curse.
I know, but –
you put Curse with Simmons?
I know. But it's like, I'm not
especially
really.
Especially without Landry.
No, but here's the thing. I'm not worried about the defense. I think the defense is fine. I have, and the only question mark I have is secondary, so that's why I put Samari there. But I have, no, my questions isn't the front seven. Well, I guess now it is because Landry's injured. But, I mean, you can just roll the dice. Bullock, Curse.
Yeah.
You know, which one are you on?
I mean,
I'm an offensive guy, so it's Mac. B-Hop.
It's a great question. Yeah. I love that question because it is you have to try to look at what does this team
exactly.
need and who are the perfect Titans from the past that might be able to fill that mm-hmm. need best. That's a really creative question. I like that. That's what helps our show. That's good stuff for Ask D-Mace.
Or
right
this
there.
Would be controversial right here. If I say, and I'm only speaking because I'm looking at this team and I'm saying they can't afford anyone to get injured. And as great as Mac was, he was injured. He had a lot of injuries, and you know, some games he went out there and he gave it his all, but you knew he was just like, man, just struggling, like just physically struggling. And you would hope that, okay, can he get it up another week? Can he go another week? Can he go another week? And then eventually ends up catching up with them, and he has to miss, you know, a game or two. So, but I got to throw Mac in there. There's no way I cannot put him in there, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, if it was Mac, you, and then you add Samari, but I think B-Hop's a good answer, too.
The offensive linemen, to me, get one more staple.
Bruce.
Pillar, well, either Bruce Matthews, Brad Hopkins, just, you know, pick one. You know, one more solidifying force on the offensive line, then I think you got to.
Now, if you said five, then I, you know, it's myself, yeah. Mac, B-Hop, Bullock, and Samari. I mean, just take your pick. I mean, they need help at corner, so Samari's there. They need help at outside linebacker because of Harold Landry's injured. Then throw Javon Kearse out there or throw Bullock
out there. I'd love to see, like, a receiving core that's like Woods, Burks, you, and like Drew Bennett. Nothing against the other guys, but like, you know, too new, too old. But like, add Drew in that mix too.
Yeah, I mean, and I know a lot of people are probably thinking, Drew, young folks, listen.
Drew,
if you've never seen Drew play, you might want to go back and watch Drew play. The kid was good.
Drew
was good, and you know, very, he probably was one of the most athletic players on our team. If not one, he probably was the most athletic guy on our team. It's the guy, he could do it, serve, volleyball, basketball. He was just an athletic kid at 6'6", you know? So
Eddie George is going to push back to 115, so we'll have him then. Real quick, let's work in a call, 615-737-1025. Steven wants to weigh in to ask D-May. Steven, welcome in.
Hey, guys. So my question is kind of more towards next week, and I'm curious. As a fan, I sit here and I watch the Bills last night, and I see them, you know, they kick butt and everything else. But now they get 11 days to prepare for us, and we got to travel up there to them. As a player, was there ever any situation like that? Do you think about that? I know you're not supposed to look ahead to the next game or anything like that, but does it ever weigh on your mind? You're like, dang, now they got this extra time to prepare for me, and how do you go about your business with that type of situation as a player?
Thanks, Steven.
I'm sure. Thank you, Steven. I'm sure I've been in that situation where I've seen the team play on a Thursday, and you're watching them like, oh, my goodness.
Because they get the mini bye.
This team is good. And then they get to watch you and, you know, prepare for you an extra few days. Then you have to prepare for them. So that's always sort of the, you know, the internal battle. And internal battle, what I mean by that is not looking ahead. You know, that's why coaches always try to preach, and Vrabel is big on this. The moment we saw Ryan Tannehill say, just, you know, think about where you're at now. Keep your feet grounded where you're at now. Don't think about what's happening next week or who we play 3 weeks from now. Talk about the game now. So that's where that you know, internal struggle comes in. Yes, I know we have a game this week, say with the Giants, and the Giants are supposedly not that good. But I just saw Buffalo playing. Wow. They look really good. So now you got that struggle of, I still got to pay attention to the Giants, but I know we got Buffalo coming up pretty soon.
Great participation in Ask D-Mace. Real quick, I'll throw this in that Spence said, thanks for answering the question. He would have said McNair, David Stewart, and just because of his attitude, Cortland Finnegan. That's who he would have said.
I mean,
D-Mace is familiar with Cortland.
Yeah, I mean, that's not. I wouldn't say you're wrong. I mean, you know, it depends. It's what this team needs. What does this year's team need? You know, and he's right. You know, not many are sold on Ryan Mack. Their right tackle situation is up in the air. David Stewart, cornerback. Mm-hmm. Okay, Cortland Finnegan, because those are needs. So
right. Eddie George going to join us at 1:15. Coming up next, we'll look around the league at some week one matchups. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 1025, 106.3 The Game.